Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we will help you keep it running. The help we get from Dan Burns, AOC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan is back with us this morning. Good morning, Dan. I can only imagine what business was like for you and your troops at Lloyd's Automotive during this polar vortex.
All hands on deck.
I bet. And with mittens.
Yeah. Hands on deck with mittens. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty wild.
So you and I were talking off air, and we're going to pick up on questions either by phone or by text. In fact, why don't we give the phone numbers and the text numbers? 651-989-9226. Dan has been serving us here on the CCO for 25 years or more, giving you some idea what might be wrong with your vehicle before you bring it in your favorite dealer or favorite shop for some repair. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Keep in mind, Dan will be here for about another 30 minutes, just until the wine chat with Jack Farrell. So don't wait. If you have a question, please call us or send Dan a text. Again, text number 81807. I would imagine there were a lot of tire issues, people going to Lloyd's saying, or maybe having their vehicles towed, not only batteries, which I guess is obvious, because a friend of mine had battery problems with his vehicle, yeah. And it's an old one, and it just didn't cut it.
You know, it was out of control, and I think that as a society, we've kind of lost touch on dealing with that kind of cold. Yeah. It used to happen. It seemed like, or at least my memory is, it seemed like it used to happen a lot.
I agree.
And it has not happened for a long time. So we were caught a little bit off guard, and the tow trucks were caught a little bit off guard, and everybody does their best, and everybody works really hard, but it just was impossible to keep up.
I've told you about the issue I have with real cold weather with not my rear tires, but the front tires, especially the front left. In this cold weather, you can explain it because the seal can leak, unless there's an issue with a nail or something.
Right.
But the seals can leak, right, with the corrosion.
They can indeed. They get a little bit of corrosion in there. And, people say, well, why worse in cold weather? Well, in cold weather, the rubber tire is much stiffer and much harder. And in that condition, it just does not seal as well. And so air leaks out.
And I was
and then try and get air. That, in those conditions, you just can't
find it
anywhere.
I was heading into work, and I thought, wait a minute, because fortunately, my vehicle shows the actual PSI.
Mm-hmm.
And our other cars, it's just the light. It doesn't, except for one.
Now,
there's not all vehicles show you the PSI.
That's correct.
And I'm glad it did, because it was losing air as I was driving, and I thought, and it was like close to 30 below. And I thought, maybe I better put some air in this.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find an open, workable compressor anywhere.
That's typical.
It is typical. Yeah, this is the wrong time of year. But the point is, I could have been driving on a flat tire had I not known the cold pressure.
Yeah. That actually brings up a good point about driving on a flat tire.
Yeah.
People ask about that. You know, what should I do? I'm driving down the highway and I have a flat tire and I can't find a safe place to stop. What should I do? And my answer is, if you have been driving down the tire or down the highway and you have a flat tire and it's not safe to stop, keep going, because the truth is you've ruined the tire already.
Oh.
I mean, if it has gone 100 yards down a freeway at highway speeds, you've already ruined the tire. And so my answer is, be safe. Drive the car to where you need to be safe, to get off the highway or do whatever you need to do. And deal with it from there, but do not stop in the center lane or anything like that for a flat tire, because it's simply too dangerous. So and get off the highway.
And in some cases, isn't it true with some of the cars these days, there's no spare?
Well, that's a whole nother time.
Whole nother story.
They give you an air compressor to pump the tire back up, and of course the tire's ruined, so it won't take air.
Well, a text that related, Dan, came in earlier. The texter says, had low air in a tire this past week, drove to a convenient gas station with free air. When filling, the hose shot out water with the air into my tire. Is that something to be concerned about?
It is.
How can that be?
Well, that's a difficult answer or a difficult solution to that, because one of the consequences of compressing air is moisture. You know, on our air compressors and in our tanks at Lloyd's, we have both drains for the air compressor that are set on timers, so they drain. You've heard it in my service bay, Denny, where the air comes shooting out
The
floor.
Is that what that is?
That is. It's the air compressor's draining. And then we also have a dryer to dry the air.
So there's no condensation?
Well, there's theoretically no condensation. There's still some. But if you go to the local neighborhood gas station and, you know, put your quarters in to make the thing work, it's full of water.
Ooh.
If it's working, and you know, of course the result of it being full of water is it immediately freezes up, so when it's 30 below you can't get any air out of them anyway. So that's a tough answer, a tough solution. Yes, you should be concerned. Hopefully it did not freeze right at the valve stem going in, but moisture on the inside of the tire is one of the things that makes the corrosion that you're talking about between the wheel and the tire worse.
Oh, I bet.
So that moisture's in there all the time and slowly leaking out, and that moisture is what causes the corrosion.
Tell you what, we have callers, we have texters, Dan. Let's see if we can invite our listeners to join in, too. Let's go to the phones. Pete is first up here in Lakeville. Morning, Pete. What's your question for Dan?
Yeah, Dan, I got a 2008 Chevrolet Impala. Check engine light was on. They ran the and found that it was running rich. A code came up. Fuel running rich.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? What should I do?
Well, you should take it in, and you're going to need some help on that, because there's a whole bunch of things that can make it run rich. If it's not getting enough air for one reason, if an oxygen sensor or something like that's not working correctly, if it's getting false readings, the computer will richen the mixture to compensate for that, and apparently it's doing it when it's not supposed to. Or if it's got a leaky fuel injector, or on an 08, maybe it has a fuel pressure regulator that's leaking a little bit, and fuel is unmeasured fuels getting introduced to the system. That's what causes it to get rich, but there's a whole bunch of different ways that it can happen. So if you bring it into the shop, they'll put it on the computer and read all of the sensors, see what's going on, and find out why it's doing that.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Let's see who's next before we take a quick break. Tom is calling from West St. Paul, I believe. Tom, good morning. What's your question for Dan?
I have a question about synthetic oils.
Okay.
I've got a 2008 Hyundai Santa Fe, and I've got a 2012 Focus, and I've been using synthetic oil in them for quite a few years. But I've been reading online, and it says synthetic is not for all cars, but I couldn't figure out whether my car was included in that or not. And then it says there's differences in the oils. Some of them just kind of have additives, the way I understand it, and those break down, and then it's just plain oil again. And then the ones that they recommend are 5W30s, and my vehicles call for 5W20s, so I'm confused.
Well, first of all, you can certainly find both synthetic and conventional motor oil in the correct weight. So do a little looking around, and you'll absolutely find that. And with regards to synthetic oil, my recommendation on pretty much any car is synthetic oil is better. I mean, it's, you know, motor oil comes in good, better, best. Mm-hmm. A full synthetic oil being the best. And I can't think of a car maybe other than a collector's car, that full synthetic oil is not the best. So
okay.
I would feel good using it. And in fact, with the advancements in technology regarding oil, it's almost impossible to get something that's not at least partially synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't advertise it as being partially synthetic, it is, because the refining process has gotten so good on motor oil that they're all coming down the line, at least at least the better quality. You can't really get a poor quality oil anymore.
That's good. All right. Thank you very much, Tom. John, hang on. You're going to be next on the phone, and we'll grab some text messages here on our Car Care Show on News Talk A3OWCC. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. If you need Lloyd's, tell us where that's located, Dan.
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give Jim a call this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that number before Dan leaves us today. I want to talk about brakes coming up because of this cold system, what can happen. But, John, we promised John in Brooklyn Park to be next up here. John, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call, Denny. Dan, I have a 2011 Grand Caravan. I replaced the front left caliper, and I bled the whole front brakes. Necessary to also bleed the rear when you open up the system?
Theoretically, no. Theoretically, you do not need to bleed the rear, but it depends how the brakes feel. If they feel a little spongy, then yes. Yes, you do. And I don't understand why. I mean, they should be separated in the master cylinder. And if the master cylinder does not go empty, it should be fine. But somehow that air does seem to travel between them. And so if your pedal feels a little spongy, yes, go ahead and bleed the rear.
Okay,
and that'll good. Take care of it for you.
If you want to send Dan a text, 81807, here's one, 2014 Dodge Journey with push start. Works great if I use the remote start, but sporadically if I start it the normal way, it sounds like it's struggling to start.
With the push start? Or
yeah,
something.
With a regular way to start it, a regular push start ignition.
Well, I don't know a car right now that, not today, but,
yes.
But in this week, I do not know a single car that did not struggle to start.
Yeah.
Although the solution to most of the cars that were towed in or brought into Lloyd's because they wouldn't start some morning, the solution was a new battery. And if all of the cars that we replaced the battery on Tuesday, they all started on Wednesday, and it was just as cold.
Yeah.
So if you had trouble this week getting your car started, if the battery was dead, then there's a couple things that could have been the problem. One is driving condition or driving habits. If you don't drive very far and all your car does is idle and warm up, you drive a mile or two to work
yeah.
and then you shut it off, it never fully recharges the battery. So one tip would be if you hear severe weather coming, put a little trickle charger on your battery and charge your battery up for a couple, for an overnight, and then it will be at full capacity and you'll be fine again. But if you don't drive on the highway, your battery does not get fully charged.
I did that very thing with a battery that you guys put in not that long ago in another car. But because I tried to start it in cold, it kind of drained it. But it didn't take long at all to come up to full capacity.
Yeah, charge it back
and then
up.
It worked. Then it worked fine. Here's a 2017 Camry text, Dan, that sat outside. Low battery, no start. Should I have started it every 12 hours?
Yes. I mean,
you could do that.
Start it, but you need to drive it. Sitting there idling with the lights on, and you can't shut the lights off on some cars, and the fan running, the heater fan running,
Sure. It's
barely charging. It's barely recharging. So the engine's getting warm, which is helpful, but it's not doing much to recharge the battery. So you actually need to take it out and drive it down the highway to get it to really charge.
Let's go back to the phones. Tom in Eden Prairie has been waiting there. Tom, what's your question for Dan?
Good morning, Dan. Prior to the recent cold snap, I bought an 80-watt battery wrap that I put around my battery, And my comment, and then I've got a question. Prior to doing that, I've got a digital readout on my battery checker and the battery registered 12.1. About 8 hours after I had put the battery wrap on, I checked it again, and it had increased to 12.4 without doing anything other than just heating it up. My question is, after having left it on for a period of time, can I just simply unplug it and start driving it, or do I have to be somewhat concerned about getting the battery back to a normal temperature before I take off down the road?
The state of charge that you experienced had only to do with temperature. It really did not have anything to do with the state of the charge. So in other words, if you take the battery wrap back off and the battery gets cold again, it will be back to the previous charge. If you really want the battery's charge to increase, you need to recharge the battery, which would, you know, accomplish the same thing. It would bring it back up to full capacity. But you've noticed with any piece of battery equipment, when the battery gets cold, you lose capacity.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not a chemist or a physicist. I can't tell you exactly why that happens, but it's absolutely true. If it gets cold, you lose capacity on your battery. So yep. Warming your battery is a good solution to getting more power out of your battery.
Okay. Tom, thank you. Did that help you?
Yes, it does. Now, can I just simply unplug it and start driving right away, or do I need let it cool down before I start driving?
No, it's not hot. I mean, it's just warm. So yeah, no, you unplug it and start your car, and you'll be on your way. You've just kept your battery warm and toasty. Kept it covered in a blanket.
Very good, Tom. Thank you. Appreciate it. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here for about another 15 minutes or so. We got a bunch of text stands, so let's do that. But when we come back, let's talk about another issue I've experienced and reading about, and that's frozen brakes besides the tire pressure.
Sure.
So we'll come back. We'll talk about that, too. We are in the midst of our car care show. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is with us, helping you out again, as he does every Saturday. We appreciate that. Dan, a lot of text messages. I don't want to ignore them. And I wanted to ask you about frozen brakes. Maybe we can do that really fast.
Sure.
Because I noticed in the Tony's car that sits outside, when I tried to start it, it wouldn't, and put it in gear, I couldn't. The brakes wouldn't work. They were like solid.
Well, they kind of work. They're just really difficult.
Oh, okay. What happens then?
Well, you lose your power assist. Just like with the air compressor, the brake system, the power brake system is worked with vacuum. And with the car sitting like that, the valves and things in that vacuum system get frozen. Mm-hmm. And so you're not getting vacuum assist to the brake power booster.
But then you let it warm up and it's fine.
Let it warm up and it's fine. And, and that actually is another interesting point is, you know, people will say, well, this morning when it was 30 below, such and such happened. I heard a noise, or I felt a thumping or whatever. What do you think I should do? And my answer is nothing. When it's 30 below, when it comes to your house, your car, or anything, weird things happen. And while cars are designed to operate at 30 below, they are not designed to operate perfectly. And so if you hear something strange only when it's 30 below out, forget about it.
Let it warm up.
And if your car won't start when it's 30 below and you don't need it, that's my other advice. Just wait. Today, if your car didn't start on Thursday and you have not needed it, today when it warms up to 30 above, you're going to start it. It's going to be fine.
Might even be melting.
Right.
Texter Dan says, not a question, but it says, the only problem I had with my 2013 Elantra so far is low tire light. Tried to fill the tire after 45 seconds, hands were frozen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I can be serious.
Well, I had people lined up at my bay door, you know where my door is, and wanting help with putting air in their tires, and we're happy to do it, but I could not get around all four tires before my hands froze.
I had to warm up.
I had to go in and warm up. Make another run at it.
All right, let's talk a little bit more text messages here. Recently, purchased Texas is a 2013 Toyota Venza. For motor oil, the owner's manual recommends 0-20. I've never heard of 0-20. Your thoughts? Well, two of my Toyota products use 0-20.
0-20 is very common right now, and I've even seen 0-16 for some of the new vehicles. So the reason that they keep letting motor oil get thinner, you know, the lower the number, the thinner the viscosity, The reason that they let it keep getting thinner is because they can. And the reason they want to is because you get better gas mileage.
So yeah.
It's good for the gas mileage, and the technology with motor oil has allowed them to do that.
Texter says this, 2015 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sahara. I started it in the minus 28 degrees, noticed some oil under the oil pan, drove it around, and it stopped leaking. Was that leak due to cold, dried-out gaskets? And when I drove it and it heated up, did that warm up the old pan gasket and seal it up again?
That's true, too.
It's possible. Yeah. Huh?
Very possible. We see that all the time. You know, when you, if you've ever pulled the drain plug out of a car when the motor oil is 20 below zero, it is literally like tar. I mean, it won't come out. I mean, it's terrible. It just glugs out. And so when you're going to start it, that oil is trying to pump through a cold engine. And because it's so thick, the oil pressure gets very high. And so if it blows by a seal only when it's 30 below, forget it. It'll be fine when it's warm.
You and I were talking about tire pressure and whether you have sensors, and if you have sensors and it shows you the actual pressure, or if you just have lights that come on, say you have a low tire. Talk a little bit about that, because in severe cold like we've had, maybe the sensors aren't totally accurate.
Well, that's true, and I know that for a fact because I park in a warm garage, and when I left my warm garage, I had 32 PSI in my tires. And I went to work and parked outside all day, and it was 25 below. And when I went to get in my vehicle to come home that night, the pressure was down to 24, and it had not leaked. I mean, they were all four the same. So it had only to do with the temperature, which is significant. I saw it on a show this week where they say for every 10 degrees, it'll go down 1 PSI. And according to my simple test, that's pretty accurate. But anyway, I went to put air in my tires, and they were not at 24. They actually were at 28, and I filled them back up.
So the accuracy had dropped.
But it was not; they were not totally accurate at that temperature either. So that's it. You got to decide what you want to chase and what you don't want to chase, because when it's that cold, and it's rare for it to be that cold, you know, you have to decide about that.
Texter says, can I start my car to warm up and sit in it, then have it in neutral and run the engine to raise the RPM? Will that put a load to charge the battery?
That will.
That'll help.
The high RPM on the engine is what you want to have happen, because then the alternator is turning at full capacity. And if you have your alternator turning at full capacity, the battery will recharge. But that being said, when we recharge a battery, it takes hours, not minutes. So, you know, 10 minutes of running your car with the alternator is not the same as recharging it for 2 hours.
All right, let's see. I know we're almost out of time, Dan. Maybe we do a quick one here. 2013 Ford F-150 does not heat at low idle, heats up when driving, blows cold air at low idle, blows heat when driving
again. Yeah, it needs a thermostat. Engine temperature is not quite warm enough, and if you put a new thermostat in it, it'll bring the engine temperature up just a little bit more. And when you get the engine temperature a little bit warmer, then the coolant will stay warm in your heater core, which will keep you in heat at idle also.
Well, I hope you and your troops at Lloyd's have a better week, a busy week, but not as cold.
Oh, it was fun. It was. it's like you get. You know,
it's an adventure.
It's an adventure. You get this nerve thing going, and everybody's excited, and it's fun. I mean, you don't get this very often. So, it was a good time. We enjoyed it.
How do we connect with you guys then by phone, that
Lloyd's? Well, give us a call. We're at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, or come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
We'll see you back here 1 week from today, Dan.
Sounds good.
Let's hope it's above zero.
All right.
Thanks very much. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.